Crafted into the image that Christ wants you to be today. Amen.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect.
yesterday I was feeding the chickens, and they were running to feed, and fell to, when a chicken fell down and couldn't walk, I just laid it laid there sideways, not being able to get up. I told Sister Beth to go pick it up. She did, and she said, "Why don't you come over here and pray for it?" So I walked over, said a prayer of faith. We carried it to the chicken coop, and I put some straw together and put it on top of it for a little nest there. As soon as the chicken sat down, it got up and started walking. Amen. Said, "Ate and ate some scratch." Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Whatever we ask in His name, it shall be given. Amen. Amen. We have a few prayer requests here. Amen. For Larry Moore, it says, "Remember Sister Tammy and myself at 9 a.m. tomorrow for a prayer request. Also remember my friends, that the Lord would prick their hearts to seek Him." Amen. Amen. Also, remember, I don't know if everybody has heard yet, but Sister Johnson from Willamette, she ended up passing away earlier this morning. So keep her family in prayer. She truly was a saint of God. We know she's got her legs back, and she's got her eyesight back, and she's up there praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Amen. But just keep her family in prayer, for we know that they love her, we love her, you know, and just that God would comfort them at this time of loss. Amen. And also remember, I don't know if everybody remembers, Brother Don, he's a Heller fellow, and him and his wife came a while back. Brother Don's 10-year-old nephew in prayer, he is going to have surgery, and his mother is very worried, so keep him in prayer. Amen. I believe that is all. I'm going to say with an upraised hand today that you have the seat of the Lord. Amen.
God, Lord, you clean out, Lord, help us clean out, Lord, any bad ground of our hearts,
Amen.
Lord Jesus, Lord,
yes,
that this
Lord.
Word could be sowed right
Indeed,
there, God, Lord.
Lord,
please be with us this morning, Lord, Amen. Anoint the preacher, Lord Jesus, God, and Lord, may he just sow the words of life, Lord, deep into our
Amen.
Hearts, God, Lord, and Lord, may we go home with this seed, God, Lord, and water with the word, God, Lord, with prayer, God, with praise, Lord,
Amen.
Believing, Lord, that we would bear the fruits of Jesus Christ, God,
Amen.
The fruits of the Spirit, Lord
yes.
Jesus, Lord. Lord,
you
will be here right now with us, God, Lord. Rebuke any spirit, God, Lord, that's contrary to you, God, and to your word, Lord. As John warned that the spirit of Antichrist is even here, God,
yes.
Lord Jesus, Lord, now, Lord, 2,000 years ago. We rebuke it right now in the name of
Amen.
Jesus Christ, God, Lord. May you have full reign this morning, God, in
yes,
the minds
yes.
of all
we
the people,
it,
God, in all the hearts, God, Lord. Lord, open our eyes to greater things, Lord, in the word, Lord. Give us greater revelation, Lord
yes,
Jesus, God,
Lord.
To help us overcome this age, God, for surely, Lord. You said we'd be overcome.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be with Brother Larry, Lord, and his wife, Lord, and child, Lord Jesus, Lord. Have your perfect way, God. Lord.
Yes.
And we're believing for all things, God.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's sing a little song. It's deep, it's deep, it's deep down in my heart. Amen. How many know that that love of Jesus, it's deep down in your heart? Amen.
Yeah.
It's so deep that it's like an artesian well just overflowing. Amen. Well, it's deep, it's deep, it's deep down in my heart. It's deep, it's deep, it's deep down in my heart. It's deep, it's deep down in my heart. I got the love of Jesus, and it's deep down in my heart. church and greet your neighbor as we sing that again. For our brother Larry this morning, amen.
Thank you. A little testimony here. So in our flesh, we get real nervous and stuff. We want to do something for the Lord. I had found some very old songs when I first came in the message. It was given to me in 7 church ages. Felt the song come on my heart, and I immediately texted Brother David and say, would you guys help me learn a song? And I think that when we want to do something for the Lord, we kind of hold back, and then we start thinking about that thing, and then if we don't move forward right away, we seem to lose that victory. So I'm a little nervous, but I just thank the Lord for what he's doing in my life. Even simple things like that. I got this new shirt at Savers. And actually, it was a battle even to get these shirts. But I won't go into that. Thank you.
Wednesday, but I'm going to sing a little song, just pray for my voice.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been sharing the same old voice for the same old life, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better
ain't nobody going to do you like Jesus will this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We've come out on what? Resurrection Sunday, right? Amen. That's why the church moved from the Sabbath to the Sunday, right? Amen. Because the resurrection happened on that morning. Amen. And today we are partakers of that resurrection life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're a partaker, could you say amen today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe we'll just sing one more song here, and by the grace of God, then we'll get to announcing our speaker this morning. I know it's a real big mystery now, isn't it? But by the grace of God, I don't know about you, I'm happy to be in the house of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. You feel the Lord around you already? Isn't that sweet? Amen. He's a great God, isn't he? Amen? Amen. Maybe we'll just sing one song, and then we'll get right to bringing our brother out here and getting to the Word this morning. Amen? Like singing this song. I hope it's all right. I don't know if you know it, Sister Hannah, but we'll try to sing it. As long as you got your husband at least hitting a tambourine, I think it'll be all right. But I'm going to sing that song. He's real. He's real. Jesus is real to me. Amen. In the morning, he's real. He's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, oh yes. He gave me the victory. Just for a moment here. Is everybody able to press out to the house of God this morning? Amen. I'm very blessed by Saturday night service last night. Those who were able to go, amen. Certainly had a wonderful time in the Lord. One thing about Brother Jesse, that's, of course, those visitors may not know, that's me and Brother Simon's younger, bigger brother. And Brother Paul. So it's all one little family that God is, and he's pulled us away from all the things of the world, and he's drawn us into a perfect revelation, amen. And older, younger, however you like, you got six kids like Mama had, I believe that we're all a partaker of the same life of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen, so we're just really grateful for what the Lord's been doing. He's been doing powerful things here. He's been doing powerful things over in Akron, amen. And by the grace of God, once again, we have Brother Jesse Smith speaking this morning. And how many are looking forward to the Word of God? Amen? I'll tell you what, brother, sister, if you're sitting with a cup half full today, you can say, God, overflow this cup. Amen? Amen? And surely he will come and deliver that word. Amen? Amen? Brother Jesse, we've seen the Lord do so many wonderful things. Just talking about, you know, in the past, you know, he came here and years past now, but almost every single time God does something wonderful. The one time he come, he said there's a young man, little boy there. He had ADD, and God healed him on the spot. Amen. By the grace of God, we were talking about yesterday, and as even Brother Larry's wife got a healing touch from the ministry. Amen. And my grandpa, our grandpa, Grandpa Garzi's, rest in peace with the Lord by the grace of God. But that night, we had a little revival service. God took the numbness of diabetes from his leg away that night. Amen. So we've seen a real God in the midst. Amen. That's what we're trying to tell you. Amen. So what we're trying to say is that if you have expectation in God, all things are possible. Amen. And we want to see God not just do supernatural, but we want to see a supernatural makeover of our spiritual lives. Amen. So certainly if you have that desire, how many would be so close to Jesus Christ that you can't tell any difference between yourself and the Word? Amen. Amen. That's our desire. Oh, God, just take all of our lives. Amen. So it's good to see what the Lord's doing in the midst there. And it's good to see we got Brother Mike. He's now a front row poller now. So praise the Lord. Nice to see him there. And anyway, by the grace of God, it's good song specials. We enjoyed those. And just really happy to be a servant of Jesus Christ this morning. So without further ado, maybe we'll stand if you can. And then we'll get our brother right out here and allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. And how many come to have church this morning? We come to enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ, enjoy the fruit of having him near you. Amen? Amen? So praise the Lord for that. Let's just sing. They were in an upper chamber.
Thank you. just take a moment and worship the Lord if we can, in your own way. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord. Be glorified, be honored today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. We're just grateful to be here, and we certainly feel the presence of the Lord. And it's a sacred feeling. It's something you never get used to. It's a sacredness that's beyond the flesh of man. It's something much greater. So let's just bow our heads here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. Lord, we are just full with your love, Lord God. We are just in love with you. Lord, whatever you would say, whatever you would ask us to do, we would love to do it, Lord God. We would love to obey your word. We would love, Lord, just nothing more we would love than just to please you, Lord God. Your son Jesus said, I always do that which pleases the Father. Lord, we want that to be our testimony this morning. Lord, that we would do all that pleases you, Lord God. Lord, we just ask, Lord, you'd meet every need. Lord, I don't have the ability to do that. No man does. But Lord, the Holy Spirit does. And we want to just ask that your Holy Spirit would have free course this morning. And Father, bless the efforts of the pastor here, my precious brother, in the flesh and in the spirit, Brother Cam, and all the saints, and every single person who labors here, Lord, week in and week out. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that your spirit would continue to guide and bless and strengthen and edify this congregation. They might be a lighthouse, Lord, and finding souls that are drifting in the seas of life, and keep them from the awful rocks of sin. Let it be a lighthouse, Lord, to save souls. Lord, that's my prayer, Jesus. And Father, I pray just be with us in a special way. We humble ourselves, Lord, before you. We ask that you'd have your way, Lord God, and just reveal yourself more to us, Lord, we pray. We love you, Lord, and we just pray you minister now to us in Jesus Christ's name. The church said,
amen.
Praise God. Let's take our Bibles this morning by the grace of the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, if we could. Hebrews chapter 6. I was kind of wondering what to preach this morning. You know, you go, like, you know, I preach 3 sermons a week, you know, and 52 weeks out of a year. That's a lot of sermons, you know. So you wonder, well, Lord, what would please you this morning? So I just kind of felt led. We'll look at this thought here in Hebrews chapter 6. Just feeling. And I'm just going to combine a few different thoughts, you know, and I want to work with this thought of our anchor at the throne of God. I want to look at that this morning, and our anchor at the throne of God in Hebrews chapter 6. There's so many people tossed about today, and from one thing to the next, but the Bible said we have an anchor of the soul. And oftentimes, you know, we in our own minds, we try to be anchored in our minds, and but our mind will fail us sometimes. We don't feel really anchored in our thoughts. But the Bible never said it was the anchor of the mind. The Bible said it was the anchor of the soul. How many know you have 3 parts this morning? You have a body, spirit, and a soul. How many know that? So I want to look at the soul this morning, the anchor, our anchor at the throne of God. Hebrews 6, verse 18. Actually, let's read verse 15 because it's such a beautiful verse there. Verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. How many want to inherit promises of God?
Amen.
One requirement is patient endurance of the trials. You must patiently endure any trial God would bring you through. You've got to trust him that at the end of the trial, you'll obtain the promise you were longing for. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 18. That by 2 immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Where does our anchor enter into? Just the church building? Your mom's house? Your dad's house? Where's the anchor enter? Into heaven. Within the veil. So I'm not anchored to the earth. My anchor is firm in heaven. Whither the forerunner is already entered for us. Glory. Hallelujah. And if there was ever a rock that an anchor could get a hold of, and that rock could be stable, that rock would be Christ. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Can we just speak to the rock one more time? Heavenly Father, Lord, we've read your word. I believe this word is infallible. Help me to live it before your people, before my family, before the church. Help me to be a true witness of your spirit, Lord God. And let me live it before this generation. May each one of us live it. And Lord, I just pray, speak to our souls this morning, Lord God. Of course, we want our bodies in subjection and our minds transformed. We believe the word will do that. Help us to see where our anchor is at this morning. We give you praise and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Everybody said? God bless you to be in the seat. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We appreciate Brother Cam giving us the invite. And it's just really wonderful to be here. And we're happy about last night's service. What a great time in the Lord that was. And it's good to feel the fire burning, praise the Lord. And just the revival. You can feel the revival fires last night. And I like that. I like to, we all go through trials, We all go through tests, but it sure is good to feel the revival. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're just thankful for what God's doing here. Every soul that God has brought here that's a new soul is worth 10,000 worlds. And to see a soul change from unbelief to serve Christ is the greatest miracle you'll ever see. How many know that? To see one soul be healed in the soul is the greatest divine healing you'll ever see. The rich man was begging Abraham in the prison house, according to Jesus. And he's saying, send Lazarus back through a resurrection. Then my brothers will believe. And Abraham said, you're wrong. A miracle won't save them. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe just the preaching of the word to be saved. Gifts are tremendous. Gifts are a tremendous help to the church. But they are the bait that's on the hook. And the hook is the word. So I just kind of want to, although I thank God, as Brother Cam was mentioning, we thank God for all the testimonies. But I'll just be honest, sometimes I forget about all that God's done. And I need to realize where my anchor's at. I appreciate the reminder, brother. Sometimes I feel like, what am I doing here? I feel like such a failure sometimes, because Paul said, when I want to do good, evil's right there with me. But he caught the revelation that it really isn't me that sins. It's the sin that dwelleth within me. Praise the Lord. Remember that Romans chapter 6? Paul had to constantly step back and say, even in my faults, it's really not me. Because the real me is the soul. The nature of the human spirit. That's the real me. And when we become mature like St. Paul, we start differentiating. Okay, I allowed that sin to happen. I did fall short in my mind or my flesh. I kind of gave into my flesh. But that's really not the real me. How do you know? Because if I die, the flesh stays here. But the soul, the nature of the person
either goes up or goes down. And Jesus told us, he said, when Lazarus died, he said the angels came and packed him to paradise. Amen. But the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. So somehow he got a straight ticket down there to the prison house. And I believe, church, if we're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and really serve him, that we'll have, maybe if God would tarry, we might have pallbearers at our funeral or something like that. But let me tell you, I believe we'll have angel pallbearers. Because they'll pack us to a place where a physical pallbearer can't pack us. Amen. If your soul is right with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know when he comes. He doesn't tell us when he comes. Brother Bam said, it's a good thing he doesn't tell us when he'll come. Because Satan might pervert that. You might get a really powerful deception. But we have our anchor in the soul, praise God. So I want to look at that this morning. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you by God's grace. And like I said last night, I've just been trying to stay. I've been trying to control how loud I preach. And I forgot about last night because there's such a great atmosphere. And because I have a lot of zeal for the Lord, but I got to have wisdom too. So I'll try to control myself this morning by the grace of the Lord. But if I get a little excited, you forgive me. Because I know one thing. Jesus Christ has fulfilled desires in my heart that the world can never fulfill. When I was a slave to drugs, when I was a slave to pornography, when I was a slave to all these things, I was guilty and I couldn't escape it. I had no way to break free from those chains until I fully surrendered and gave my life to Jesus Christ. Then I experienced a power and love that was greater than anything the world could offer me. And so I'm a witness of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We're very thankful for that. And I just want to say, you know, last month I was preaching on the five identification of the true church. And just to kind of encourage you and raise your faith, I was telling this to Brother Mike last night. We had a sister in our church, you know, in her 50s, and she's had female trouble and bleeding and can't stop the bleeding. And I remember when she walked into church that morning, because she was actually there before we were. She beat the pastor to church. That usually don't happen. I like to be first. I like to race in the natural. I like to race in the spiritual. I like to be the first one to church. And as soon as she got out of the car, her face was beaming. She came by herself with, well, actually not alone, but came with her granddaughter. And she said, Brother Jess, we're just having a great time. And God is so good. And just testifying. The first word she said to me is testifying. I'm like, my, she's on fire. Her face is beaming with love and happiness. I thought, my, what a wonderful spirit she's got on her. And I didn't know she was struggling. You know, I didn't know she had bleeding problems. But I preached that just a humble message, the five identifications of the true church. She come up to the altar here to the right side, which was where the angel of the Lord, you know, would meet Brother Branham on the right side. And it's okay, you can come to the left side too. I'm just saying, you know. It's just striking now that I think about that. But she said, the Lord told me I'm going to be healed today from my female trouble. And I just said a simple prayer. And she said from that time she knew she was healed and hasn't bled since. And it's the same Lord Jesus that touched the woman with the blood issue in the Bible. He does the same thing today, praise God. And it's nothing that you and I can do. We just must get in the channel of the Holy Spirit and let God do what God wants to do. So, you know, things like that encourage us as we're on life's sorrowful lane. You know, we sail on life's seas and they get troubled sometimes, but we know the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to look at this thought, our anchor at the throne of God. So, you know, Paul uses some visuals in verse 18 of chapter 6, and I'm not going to spend much time on these, but it's impossible for God to lie. Whatever his word says here, it will never fail. He cannot lie, cannot say something and then take it back. It must be the truth. And he said, in this fact that God can't lie, we have a strong consolation or an encouragement. So I really want this message to be an encouragement to you this morning. Be encouraged. God's word does never fail. God cannot lie. How many can say amen to that? This is a strong, not a small encouragement. This ought to be a strong encouragement to you. That's what the word says. If God reveals some word to your heart, that, for example, Acts 2:38, if Brother Freddie, if that really got revealed to you, then you have a strong encouragement. Then when I repented and I was baptized, then my sins were remitted.
Amen.
Remit means to take away. So that means I'm no longer like Cain. The Bible said Cain's sin lighted at the door. Every time he leaves, he's got his sins right there. You know, every time he tried to go, his sin, he was always before his sins. But if you've really taken Acts 2:38 to your heart, your sins are remitted and they're no longer at your door. They're taken away. And that's a strong encouragement to us. Because oftentimes we feel unworthy, and we are in one sense. But the Bible said, they that are worthy will walk with me in white robes. Amen.
Amen.
So we understand that we must walk worthy. But also here, we understand that God here is backing us up, praise God. And I want to show you this backing up at the throne of God a little bit by God's grace. You know, the Bible said that we have this hope. It's a strong encouragement this morning. And we have fled for refuge. Now, I'm not going to go there, but you know the Old Testament. If a person accidentally killed somebody, if a person accidentally killed someone's animal or did something awful, and it was a total accident, God was so merciful that God had certain cities in Israel where people could run for refuge. And as long as they could outrun their accusers and get to this city safely, nobody could touch them. They could never be brought to trial for their accidental sin. But they had to be a swift runner. Praise the Lord. And that's what Paul says. We have a strong consolation. God doesn't lie. We have ran from our sins to the city of refuge. Praise God. And not only that, but we have laid a hold of the hope set before us. In the days of Solomon, there was a man that one of the sons tried to take the throne before Solomon. You remember the story? But Bathsheba interceded. That godly woman that she was, even though she sinned, but God used her in a great way to bring the word of God to pass. And she interceded and got Solomon on the throne. You remember the story, though? Where did he run? He knew he was going to die. They were going to hunt him down. Where did he run, church? He ran to the brazen altar.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't just run there and try to, you know, just stay there for 5 minutes. He ran there and he laid a hold upon the horns of the altar. Because that's represented the power of the brazen altar. Horns represent power. And they would take the blood, they'd kill it, and they'd put it on the horn. They'd sprinkle it on the horn. Praise God. The power of blood, the substitute of blood had to be, showed the power that was upon the sacrifice. Praise God. And so he knew where to run to be saved. He ran to the place of sacrifice. He ran to the place where there was blood. And he knew, if I can just get there, there's mercy for me.
Amen.
Now, you know the story. He went there and Solomon forgave him. Because he laid a hold of the horns and he said, this is a place of mercy. This is a place of blood. This is a place of substitution. I know I'll find grace if I go to the place of sacrifice. Amen.
Amen.
But you know the story. He did it again. He tried to take the throne again. He ran back and laid a hold on the horns. But this time there was no mercy for him. He crossed the line between mercy and judgment. How many understand that? This is the picture that we have. God does not lie. If his word says something, he will back up his word. But we must respond with love to God's word. People accuse us of being legalists. The word legalism means excessive adherence to some principle. That means you overdo your obedience. You take it too far. And what do? You add something to the word of God. Legalism is not obedience. Legalism is something added on to this word right here. For example, if I said, sisters, you got to have long hair, and it better be at least 36 inches long. That's legalism. Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said it's long, uncut hair. But the Bible doesn't say how long. Or if I said, sisters, your skirts better touch the toe of your right foot. And if not, You're immodestly, you're a Jezebel or something like that. That would be legalism. But if we say through the Bible, you must cover from your, like the Bible says, your chest at least down to your knees. Because Brother Branham said it's a shame when we can see women's and men's knees and thighs when they're walking around. And I can prove you to you by the Bible in Isaiah 47 that anytime you expose your thigh, God said it's nakedness. Read Isaiah 47, 1 through 3. Now let's take it to another realm. That's just holiness. What about murder and adultery and fornication? The Bible said we should not fornicate, have sex before marriage. The Bible said we shouldn't commit adultery and put away wives and marry new ones and all these things like that. If you just obey that and you don't fornicate, you're not a legalist. You're a child of God. Are you with me? So when we preach the Bible and tell people to obey the Bible, that's not legalism. That's loving obedience to the Word of God. Legalism is when you add something on to that. You understand that? Recently, a brother and I have been emailing back and forth in the church, and he said, well, I don't want to be legal about coming to church and all these things. And I explained that. And I said, I don't want to be too strict about this or that or this or that about, you know, way we wear our clothes and everything like that. And I said, well, Jesus was very strict with obeying the Father. You're so strict, Brother Jesse. You're so strict. I want to be strict with keeping the devil out of my life. I want to be strict in obeying God's commands because Jesus Christ was the most strict person with obeying God's commands. But he wasn't a legalist. He never added to the Word. He never took away from the Word. And he said, I always do that which pleased the Father. Not because of legalism, excessive additions, but because of love. And the reason people don't obey the Word, they don't love God enough. They either love the world or they love their husband or wife or their friends or all these things. If they don't obey the Word, it's because they don't love God. But if we love God, Jesus said, here is he that loves me, he that keepeth my word. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul never said those powerless people didn't love God. He just said they were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We don't say people don't love God. They have some love for God, but their love for the world is stronger than their love for God. Let's be the opposite. Let's love God with all of our hearts, souls, mind, and strength. Let's have our hearts turned fully to God's Word. I wasn't planning on preaching that, but praise the Lord. Amen. So we run. In other words, I run from my addictions. I ran to Christ, and I've laid a hold of the throne. Hallelujah. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual. Praise God. I'm laid a hold of the promises of God. Hallelujah. So we have two pictures. We run to a city of refuge, and we also lay a hold of the horns of God's altar in heaven. The horns in heaven. Amen. Revelation clearly teaches that. The glassy sea and the rainbow round about the throne. And the Bible said there's an altar with four horns on it. Amen. Hallelujah. God told Moses, build that tabernacle based upon the pattern you see in the mount. And make sure you stay with the pattern. That's what God's doing today. God used a prophet to show us the pattern of what a Christian must look like in heaven. And we're living out that pattern. We must keep the pattern, not add to the pattern. Legalists add to the pattern. But we're just going to keep the pattern and say what the Word says and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is it. God cannot lie. He keeps his word. And that we have fled. We've ran from our sins. We've laid a hold of the hope set before us. And this hope we have as an anchor for the soul. I was doing a little bit of studying on the anchors, and they have new technology. I was watching a video from Florida, this company that sells anchors. And it's got a real slick design. It's kind of got like an L-shaped design. It's like this new design, and it was taking the world by storm, I think, down there in Florida. And it just showed on the video how beautifully it worked, you know. It would slide right under the rock, and it showed that no matter where the winds come, the boat would just go around a circle like that, no matter how the winds blew it. It was such a great anchor. It could easily get under a rock, and it could easily hold you. And they're like, oh, wonderful, this is the best-selling anchor. But the Bible said the hope of eternal life that we have ran for, the Bible said that hope is the anchor of the soul. Amen. And then the Bible tells us where our anchor is located, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Amen. Praise God. Which entereth into that within the veil. Praise God. So our hope, our anchor for our soul is entered into the veil, which is in heaven. Praise God. Like I said, my anchor is not in Akron, Ohio. That won't be enough to hold me. Right? My anchor is not in my wife. My anchor is not in myself. My anchor is spiritually anchored in heaven. And the way you know where your anchor is, and the way I know where my anchor is because when the winds of life come, they might blow me a little bit around and all these things, and I might go around in circles, it seems like. I might go around in circles, but I will forever be connected to the throne of God in heaven. I will not divvy very far from the Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. Some people get blown way far into false doctrine, into sin. And it shows their soul hasn't been sealed by the Holy Ghost yet. It shows their soul has not been anchored in heaven. Are you with me, church? A real believer is one who is in the Word all the way. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham teaches it in John 16, 13. So let's read that. The real evidence of the Holy Ghost. And boy, this turned out different than I thought. John 16, 13. And when Brother Branham teaches this in the church age book, he said, let me show you the thus saith the Lord on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many remember that from the church age book? I preached a whole sermon on that whole section in the church age book. I just called it, thus saith the Lord on the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, this is our trial. Now, Galatians chapter 4 is our capstone on the Holy Ghost. But this is a scripture that he uses over and over again when he's preaching in the sermons. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into just denominational truth. Did I read that right? No, sir. He will guide you into what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the real baptism of the Holy Ghost leads someone into all the truth of God's Word. Praise God. And we must remember that, because we have many winds trying to blow us off course. God allows many trials to blow in our lives. And we must make sure that the anchor holds this morning. It will only hold if it's got a big enough rock to hold on to. A real solid bedrock, amen. It's got to have a solid rock that isn't going anywhere. And if that rock isn't going anywhere, no matter how many storms come and your anchor's in the right spot, then you're not going anywhere. I don't want people to be anchored in Brother Jesse, because I'm not the rock. That's where people have failed. They made pastors their anchors. They've idolized Brother Branham. They made him the anchor. He's not the anchor, praise God. The anchor for our soul has entered within the veil and the, hallelujah, And it's Jesus Christ is your anchor. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in you is your anchor, and it's connected. It's tied. Brother Branham said there's a rope that is let down from the throne of God. And he said it's there for anyone to grab it. He said it's the lifeline. The Holy Ghost is the lifeline to this anchor. And our soul, it connects to our soul, and it's anchored to Christ up in the heavenlies. Amen. Brother Branham said every soul hangs over hell by a chain. And he said the chain is the Word of God. If you could catch it spiritually, amongst Satan's Eden down here, everybody's walking in darkness. If they're not a Christian, they're walking around. They have no anchor. But for the believer, they've got an anchor. And they're getting tossed and everything like this. But they're anchors in glory. And they'll always be connected to it. It's an eternal anchor. Amen. God does not lie. He cannot lie. His word can never fail. Is that right? Let's go to James 1 and read this briefly. Just want to kind of get down into the depths of this scripture here and try to bring it out. The anchor of the soul has entered within the veil. Christ is our anchor. Hallelujah. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He is our anchor. And when we're born again, it gives us our anchor is placed at the throne of God. It's placed where the forerunner has already entered. Praise God. It's placed at the mercy seat. Hallelujah. That's in heaven. How many know there's a mercy seat in heaven? There has to be. Because wherever blood is, there has to be a mercy seat. Praise God. Wherever God dwells is mercy. God told Moses, build it like you saw it in heaven. Make a mercy seat. And I'll speak to you there from the mercy seat. That's the only place I'll speak to you. That's going to be my throne on earth. Praise God. And I won't speak to you in the outer court. I won't speak to you in the inner court. But I will speak to you behind the veil at the mercy seat. Hallelujah. That's my throne on earth. How many know that? And Brother Manning said, when a people come to church praying in the Holy Spirit, he said they are bound to hear from heaven. They're bound to hear from the throne of God. Amen. They're bound to hear from that. And we must come with that kind of expectation. James chapter 1. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. If you're tossed, I don't know if God's going to do this. I don't know if God's going to back up his word. If you're tossed back and forth, back in and out like you might be, don't even think you'll get something from God. You must be sure. Why? Because God's word is sure. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's unstable on the job. He's unstable in the church. But when you find somebody who's stable in the home, in his marriage, he's stable at the church. He's stable at the job. He's just a Christian every day. You found someone that's got an anchor for their soul. Hallelujah. They're not in this doctrine and then dabbing that doctrine and then go back out in the world or come back in and out like this. They are anchored. They're stable. They know where they stand with God. Like you know, they know where they come from, they know where they are, and they know where they're going. The Bible told you where you come from in Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible said you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. How many remember that? So we know where we come from. We know where we are. Because now, the Bible said, not later, now we should be in heavenly places. Glory. And we know where we're going. If we go before the rapture, this body will stay here, but we will be clothed with the eternal theophany or celestial body. Amen. And that body is eternal. It'll never get tired. It'll never get old. I was reading there in Revelation, the Bible said the four beasts and the 24 elders are all singing, "Holy, holy, holy."
Amen.
To the Lord God Almighty. Without ceasing, the Bible says.
Amen.
Does your voice last that long? It can sing day and night? I thought, my, what voices God must have for us. I'll finally be able to praise God and not get a sore throat afterwards. I would love to have that now. I just can't have that for some reason. But this is what is the reality of the Word of God. We cannot be tossed back and forth and all these things. Like the brother was telling me last night, Brother Larry, he was saying God has shown him recently how important it is to have one voice, one pastor. Not go online and dab into this one, dab into that one. If you have too many voices, you have too many leanings, it's good to have one voice.
Amen.
Exactly right. I've seen it. I've seen it at our church. People that have too many voices. They feel led to do this, and then after a while they don't feel led to do this, and maybe they're listening to their wife's voice, grandma's voice, granddad's voice. They got all these voices, and they're tossed from this, tossed to that. And it's so strange, and it's so unique to find someone that just hears one voice.
Amen.
They're able to silence all the voices.
Amen.
I might have said it here before, but be careful who you follow on social media. Because we're supposed to follow one voice. Limit your time on all the voices that you hear and seek to hear the voice of the ministry of the Holy Spirit right here at your home church. Amen.
Amen.
But a double-minded man goes from this. He's unstable. You can't really depend on him. How many want to be dependable?
Amen.
Brother Bam, when he was dedicating Perry Green's church, Brother Bram gave these words, and he said, don't never miss a service. He said, attend every service that you can. He said, the pastor calls you to take a place. He said, you'd be just as ready to do it. And I thought people said they believed God sent a prophet. I thought they said they believed everything he said. You see, like just something that simple. If the pastor asks you to do something, can you do it? Brother Bram said, that's one way you know you've got a gift. Whatever it is you say you got a gift, you can do it. That's an obvious sign. Well, I've got a gift to speak in tongues. Then do it. Well, I've got a gift to preach. Then do it. I've got a gift of wisdom. I've got a gift of prophecy. Then do it. That will show what's inside of you. You can only manifest from the seed that's within inside of you. You can't be something that you're not. Don't impersonate. Just be what you are. Do what you're called to do. And ask God to help you to yield so God can be glorified and actually use you as a vessel of honor. Do it. Most of the time, they'll just talk. Well, maybe next year I'll do this. Maybe next year I'll do that. Talk is cheap.
Amen.
Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk a big game, but let's get out there on the field and let's see what happens on the battlefield. I never forget my senior year of football. And so some of you might remember this. The game before the state championship, we were going against Warren JFK. They're a big old team. They outweighed us by like 50 pounds or 60, 75 on the offensive line. And I'm 155-pound tight end. I was ashamed. It was a shame for me to be on the line, but that's what I was. But anyway, there was all this chatter going on, all this chatter. And the coaches before the game said, you go out there and you keep quiet. And that we never had this before. He never told us to do that. He said, go out there and don't utter a word. So we warmed up. You know, we did our exercises, you know, all the high knees and everything. And we didn't utter a word. And the other side, they were going like this, like, come on, we want some of you, a bunch of puny little farmer boys and all these things like that. And we come out there for the game. And the first quarter was just, you know, a little back and forth. And all of a sudden, we had a play that broke it free. And after that, all the shoutings came out, and I think we rolled over them 49-0 or something like that. And we should not have won because we limited the voices. We even limited our voices. And that reminded me of the Bible said with Joshua. For 6 days they walked around playing the trumpets, but on the seventh, God said, you be quiet. You're walking around here seven times. And you wait. You wait till I tell you to shout. Because there's an hour to shout. This is not the hour yet. There's coming an hour to shout. And when we shout, victory is going to happen. But it works both ways. The next week, we were the ones shouting, and we got whipped in the state final game. A little humble pie for us. We're the ones, we're going to be two-time champs and everything. And we got humbled. So you got to know. You have to know when it's time to be ready. You must have time when you know when it's time to talk. And you must be stable. You must be know what God's will is for your life. Amen. Anybody can talk a big game. I've had two or three people, Brother Cam, tell me in the last few months, it was nobody that's there right now, but they said, well, I'll come to church and be your song leader. I'll be there Wednesday night to be the song leader. And they never had come to our church before. And come to time Wednesday night, nobody shows up. I've had people, I got plans to do this, Brother Jesse. I got plans to this for 2017. And nothing ever happens. The Bible calls that vain words. The Bible calls that you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You wait until you know you're going to do what you're going to do, then speak it. But don't speak it and talk all this big talk and then not back it up. A real man or woman lives what they speak because they're not speaking their words, they're speaking God's words. I didn't plan on preaching that either. Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Talk is cheap. Action is where it's at. Honor even with their lips, but their heart is far from the throne of God. Ephesians 4, you're familiar with this. So God sends five preaching gifts in verse 11 for the perfecting of the saints in verse 12 for the work, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You should be edified by the preachers that come through here. If not, either the preachers are wrong or you're wrong. This is a hospital. You should be healed here. And I know your pastor believes in that. I know he's trying to bring forth the oil and wine. Because he told me. And I've seen people healed here. Amen. Even when I'm not here, especially when I'm not here. That's when God's dealing the healing through the pastoral ministry. You know that. But we must stay under the fivefold ministry till we come in the unity of the faith, the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you're not seeing the fullness of Christ in your life, then you must remain under the fivefold ministry. Which if you know, that means you'll always be under the fivefold ministry. Because God won't take you until he's done with you. Satan can try whatever he wants, but he cannot take a real believer off the earth until God says it's okay. You've got a work to do. Be faithful to your work. Now, look at verse 14. That we henceforth, so when you sit under the fivefold ministry, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. See, baby children, message believers, are tossed to and fro on things. They can be persuading this for a while, then they go that for a while, then they go this for a while, then they go that. They're just tossed all over the place. Satan comes around. Well, I don't really have anything to toss around here. But he would do that. He would take them. Oh, look, this weak brother, this weak-minded sister, I'll just toss them into this doctrine. And you see, they stay there for a few weeks. He goes, oh, now I'm going to toss them into this. Because they're not mature. They don't have an anchor for the soul. But the fivefold ministry edifies or strengthens the people where Satan can't toss them around anymore. Because they're stable. You see that? They're stable. By every wind of doctrine, no matter what doctrinal winds blow in, the real Christian is stable and stays right there. Recently, I had two people come to me and say, a certain man said, pastors ought to sit down and just play tapes from now on. And they said, you need to sit down and stop and start playing tapes and stop preaching. I preached a sermon on it because I thought it was a good studying material. And very as kindly as I could on a Wednesday night, and it was very kind, I said, there is no New Testament scripture. There is no quote from the prophet of God that ever tells pastors to stop preaching the word. And Brother Bram said in the Church Age book, a real Christian will confront liars and they'll say, Paul didn't say that. Because Paul said, if you add one word or take it away, you're cursed. So when doctrines come, we search the word and then we say either Paul said that or Paul didn't say that. You're a liar, amen. Is that right? And Paul himself wrote letters, but he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, give yourself to preaching. He said, preach the word. He didn't say, read my letters only. He said, preach the word. He told them to read letters, but he told Timothy, you preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. We can never change what Paul has preached. The pattern of the word will never change. This is our blueprint. We build upon this blueprint. Winds of doctrine will come in, but if you're anchored to heaven, you shall not be moved. I don't blame some brothers for stepping down and playing tapes because it proves they were never called to preach in the first place, Brother Dave. You ought to sit down. If somebody can talk you out of the word of God, then you need to sit down and stop preaching and stop trying to rightly divide the word of truth because you're not called to do it. Glory. Get out of the pulpit and get somebody up there who's called to rightly divide the word. I got the quote. I don't have it in front of me. But Brother Bam said the most important thing for a believer today is to have a God-sent preacher who can rightly divide the word of truth. Because you're either being led to hell or you're being led to heaven. Amen. And the way to know is if the preaching is coming right from the word of God. That's the way to know. Paul said this. If Paul said it, I believe it. So you look somebody in the face and say, Paul never called a woman to preach the gospel. Paul never said you can dress immodestly and dress sexually. He said dress modestly. That's what Paul said. That's not legalism. That's truth. Hallelujah. And that's what the real fivefold ministry does. It strengthens you in the word of God. You can't be tossed around like a rag doll. I'm not a rag doll. I've got a backbone. A rag doll just looks impersonating life. And you can do with it whatever you want. Well, I'm telling you, a real Christian is not a rag doll. A real Christian is a living, breathing human being who's led by the Holy Spirit. They've got a backbone. They've got a human spirit. They know the word of God. They're living. They're not dead. They've got real life. It's a shame we got a lot of rag dolls around here. I'm just saying around the world. The preachers can toss them into this, kick them into this. Well, I'll preach it. It'll get more attendance. It'll get us more money. It'll get more people in the door. We'll just rag down. We'll just push them all over here. No, sir. The real Christian stands there because they're anchored. Nothing can move them. And they only feast on sheep food, which is the word of God. They cannot be deceived. Brother Branham said the keystone of the Bible is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes his word. Amen. And then what he said was he said that's the most powerful key. He said, but there's also a little less powerful key as well. How many remember what that key was? The elect cannot be deceived. Amen. Glory. So our foundation is that God doesn't change. He'll deal with us all the same way. We'll have no excuses on the day of judgment. Because he called all of us. The Son was calling all of us to salvation. And the layer on top of that foundation is that the elect cannot be deceived. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. It is truth. Remember, Brother Bram, in the prayer lines? Remember with in the prayer lines, he would get discernments. You'd see him, you know, he'd kind of go like this. He'd wipe his brow like I'm wiping my brow. You have to break into that dimension and break out. And after every question, he would say, is that the truth? Is that the truth? Is that the truth? And they'd say, it's all true. All true. All true. All true. Why? Because he was anointed with the Spirit of truth. It's impossible for God to lie. Praise God. But let's not leave it in the prayer lines. Let's apply it to the word that he preached. He preached on marriage and divorce. He said it's all the way true. All the revelations in there are all the way true. He said that's thus saith the Lord. It's all true, praise God. The revelations are all true. At the end of the seventh seal, Brother Bram says, so see, all the seven seals, plus the seven church ages, plus the history, it's all true, and the interpretation thereof is thus saith the Lord. Amen. It's all true. Amen. Glory. No other preacher has ever said that. Amen. Amen. But God's prophet has. Do you realize that? We have thus saith the Lord on all of Revelation chapter 6. Do you understand that? This is not another commentary of just some preacher trying to sell you a book to build his bank account. We have thus saith the Lord on Revelation chapter 6. And don't stop there. We have thus saith the Lord on Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And if we take the revelations containing the seven seals, the prophet of God said those truths will literally turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Literally. So if you take those principles containing the seven seals and apply them to the rest of the Bible, glory, then you will have thus saith the Lord throughout the rest of the Bible. Because all the seals, all the mysteries, everything's been loosed. And if you take those principles and apply it to the Bible, you'll have thus saith the Lord on the whole Bible. Because God never changes, nor do His interpretations change. That's nothing but the truth. You say, well, what's so important about a white horse rider? He just rode. He already rode. But don't you understand? He's riding still today. And he's trying to ride into your life. Don't you understand that? That's the power of the seven seals. He still comes into your life as a white, harmless. This is not even doctrine. This is just a tradition that we do now. It's harmless. This is not going to hurt the church. We're going to move forward. This won't hurt your family. Just change. Just try it a little bit. It's everybody does it now. Look, this guy does it. That pastor does it. That evangelist does it. And it looks so sweet. And you, if you're honest with yourself, you know that's how Satan operates. He always comes in deception. So what do you need? You need the power of the eagle. The power of the lion at that time. You understand? You understand? And you've seen it. And you've seen this. You have probably seen the progression of the horse rider all the way through in people's lives. Here's how it goes. Sin comes in real innocently. Then comes the red. Then they start killing people's influence. Not physically killing people. Sin comes in and they make it a doctrine. Now they start killing any church or any preacher that will preach against their revelation. Their deed or doctrine. So first they're deceived, then they start their new doctrine, then they start killing everybody else. And third, they go to the black horse, which is capturing the wealth of the world and building their own kingdom. You see these churches that they got one famous preacher, and they got satellite churches off of there all around the world. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, ordain elders in every church in every city. If you don't have a pastor, wait. But if God really called those people to a church, Brother Branham said, some man will get so tired of not hearing the word that he'll just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and he'll start preaching. And God will call him the pastor. Because God's way is to have an earthly shepherd to watch over the flock. Amen. And God does not change. Amen. Technology might change, but Christ never changes. Amen. Say, move from false doctrine into killing others' influence, making themselves look like the big shot. And then they move over into the dark age of their ministry and establishing, getting all the money out from the people. And then they enter into the pale horse, spiritual death. Death settles over the church. And you see scandals and adulteries and money infringements and all these kind of things like that. And that's how Satan still works today. And the church said,
amen.
Don't go to sleep on those seven seals. That will literally turn your heart to the apostolic fathers.
Amen.
Because now you can recognize Satan amongst the framework of the true church. And when it comes time where spiritual death is trying to attack you, you just say, Lord, help, send that eagle anointing, Lord God. I need to fly above this nonsense. Glory, anoint me with that flying eagle. Not a caged up eagle, but a flying eagle. Flying around, free from all of Satan's chains. Free to fly, hallelujah. Flying in heavenly places, not bound up, but you're free in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful, Brother Mike. I've been free in Christ Jesus for 13, 14, 16 some years, thanks to these brothers that have brought the truth to me. And thanks to Jesus Christ, who's the author of all of it. There's no man, Brother Brooks, Brother Cam, Brother Simon, and Brother Craig, don't say, you need to stay like this, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do that, and put me up in a cage. Try to control me. They've never tried to do that. Because we're not chained up. The Catholic Church and denominations chain up the people. And their cages are full of unclean and hateful birds. They hate the truth. They hate holiness. They hate the true Godhead. They hate water baptism. They hate the truth. But we love it. And we fly. We fly because of it. That's how we fly. And these truths will literally turn our hearts to St. Paul's heart. Where we can say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die would be my gain. If I die, then I only gain his presence. Amen. I only gain that theophany body that I've been hearing from. Isn't that beautiful? And I didn't plan to preach that either. Glory. You're right, Brother Cam. There's a nice poll in here by God's grace. Let me look at a few more things here. Our anchor at the throne of God. I want to show just a few people that we're anchored at the throne of God. Now first, let's go to Revelation 12:10. Revelation 12:10. Because I'm telling you, your anchor's there. If you're a believer, your anchor's there. No matter how much wind blow down here, how much false doctrine people want to preach, or sin they want to let in the church, we're not anchored by that. We're not moved by that.
Amen.
We're only moved by heaven. And heaven ain't going anywhere, praise God. Amen. Except coming down here to earth in the future home.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
But I'll be anchored to that as well, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Revelation 12:10. Brother Simon, you read that for us, Revelation 12:10, brother? Thank you, sir. Amen. This is speaking of future. Now, this already happened, right? Because Satan was already cast out. But now it's going to happen again in the future. What is Satan and all his demons doing? They're accusing God. I'm sorry, they're accusing us before the throne of God day and night. They're bringing this accusation. Well, Freddie did this, God. Brother Steve did this. Brother Cam, I caught him in this. Simon, I caught him in this. Well, even while you're sleeping. How many understand that? But why don't you look at Psalms 9, verse 4. Look at Psalms 9, verse 4. This struck me real good last week when I was preaching it. I didn't even see it this way until I preached it. It's a real good comfort here. It's a real strong consolation to me. It's a real strong encouragement. Psalms 9:4. Look what David's saying about God. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. So God is seated right now on the throne of heaven. And Satan demons come up and say, well, how we got this on Dustin? I got some real dirt on sister so-and-so. I got some real dirt on brother so-and-so. And they say, Lord, I have some bad news for you. I'm here to accuse brother Dave. I'm going to accuse brother Mike. I know they're sleeping, but I'm going to accuse them anyway. He says, they're really a bunch of hypocrites is what they are. Wait till I tell you what Brother Jesse did. I'm here to accuse and find fault and show guilt for all your so-called message believers. But the Bible said that God will sit there on his throne. And the Bible said his throne is established in holiness. His throne is established in righteousness. His throne is established in judgment. Glory. In other words, there's no fault at the throne of God in God's eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to judge the case the right way. He won't be tricked by Satan's lies. He won't be swayed by that false accuser, that false attorney, we'd say. No matter how slick he is and with his makeup on and with his fancy outfit on, no matter how slick much of a slicker he is, he won't get it past God, because the throne of God is the very seat of heavenly government. It's the very seat of truth, the seat of holiness, and nothing gets by God there. All truth is made known at the throne of God. And that's where my anchor is. Glory! I'm anchored to that throne. I have a connection to that throne. Glory! It's sure and steadfast. And so the Bible says he maintains or he keeps up your rights in heaven. Glory! And he maintains or he sustains your cause. Remember when David went to fight Goliath? They said, oh, you're just a sissy boy. You should be out there with the shepherds and all these things. And how are you ever going to kill Goliath? And he said, isn't there a cause for me to be here? It's time for some Davids to learn their causes to kill some Goliaths. Praise God. And David was the only one that had faith in that entire army. No one else in the army, not even Saul, believed. He was the closest one in stature to stand up to Goliath. But even he in his physical strength could not stand up to Goliath because he didn't have the faith to do it. So God had to send in a small, little ruddy fella, a little guy, nobody. And he gets there and said, they said, oh, you can't do it. You can't do it. He said, there is a cause that I'm here. And God will back up my cause. He'll vindicate me. He'll vindicate my vision. That where I saw myself slay Goliath, he'll vindicate my cause. He'll maintain my cause. And he'll back me up. He maintained your rights. God would say, Satan would argue all these things. He'd say, shut up, Satan. I rebuke you. He always says that. The Bible said God doesn't even bring a railing accusation against Satan because that's later. Even Michael won't just bring up all these evil things Satan does. He said he's saving that for later. But he just says, I rebuke you. Stand back. Close your mouth. That's all he's got to say. Because he's a bluff. Praise God. He's a bluff. He just said, hold your peace. And so he might try to bring accusations against us, but God would say, well, Jesse's claiming this promise, but look how he falls short. And the God would say, I'm maintaining his right to believe that. He's got a right to believe that. You stop bothering him. You stop trying to tempt him. He's got a right to believe my word. The Lord rebuke you. So I'm trying to take you to the throne of God so you can see where your anchor's at. And you can see what's happening at that throne. Satan trying to say, Simon doesn't have a right to believe that. He did this. He did that. He don't have a right to believe that. And God said, he does have a right to do that. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Or husband or wife might say, well, my cause is to serve my husband. My cause is to serve the children. And Satan might say, your cause is lost. Look how disobedient your children are. And Satan's whispering in the mother's ear, oh, you should just give up the cause. Why fight it anymore? Just stop Bible time. Just stop praying with the children. Stop feeding them. Stop having a sweet spirit in the home. And Satan will say, well, look, she don't have a cause to do this. She's just going to give up. And God would say, shut up. He said, I rebuke you. She has a cause. Those children are going to be saved one day. She has a purpose. She has a cause. And I'm upholding. God is upholding your rights to believe the word and your cause in heaven. I've got a right to believe that. I've got a right to maintain this cause. There's a purpose for being a pastor. I'm to feed the flock. There's a cause. I've got a cause. Amen. And it's a scriptural cause. It's not like, God, I want a BMW or whatever more. I want a mansion. I want an international televangelism ministry. God can't maintain that cause. Satan will give you that cause, but God will not maintain that cause. You understand? So they accuse day and night, but God stands there. He has a right to believe this. She has a right to stand on that promise. You leave her alone. That brother has a cause for this. He's got a purpose for doing this. And it's my cause. I rebuke you. How many glad you got somebody backing you up in heaven? When you feel discouraged, well, do I have a cause? Do I have a right to believe this? God is up there. He's not moved at all. He's saying, relax. You've got rights. You've got a cause. Maintain it. Hallelujah. Follow through with the word of God. Finish what you started. Glory. Finish what you started. Hallelujah. If you started as a father, finish it. If you started as a wife, finish it. If you got a cause and everything like that, keep it. Whatever you feel led to do, stay with it. God is maintaining your cause in heaven. There's a purpose for it. There's a rights to it. He's maintaining it. He's helping you do it. Don't give up just because you hear a little chatter in your ear. Hear a little unbelief. Cast that down. God is maintaining my rights. God is maintaining my cause. Though I'm accused day and night, I know he's maintaining for me day and night. He's standing up for me day and night. Job chapter 1. We see this clear picture in Job chapter 1, verse 6. I've never really understood the throne of God. I feel like till lately, I'm just getting a little bit better understanding. We don't understand everything perfectly. Like Paul said, right now I see through a glass darkly. But then, when I'm face to face with Christ, I'll understand everything then. I'm trying my best to see through the glass darkly. And I feel like I'm seeing the throne better by God's grace. Job 1 verse 6, you know the story. Now when the day was I'm sorry. And now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down into it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Now you know the story. I want you to take this now into consideration with the throne of God. Job had an anchor in heaven. How many can see that by God's grace?
Amen.
He had a connection. His life was anchored. And did you notice? God saw him as a perfect Christian.
Amen.
Why? We said last night, because of the blood sacrifice. He just kept God's sacrifice. He confessed his sin. He slayed bullocks and goats and lambs and all these for the sin and meat offering, thank offering. He just kept all the word. He just kept God's word, and God recognized him in heaven. And God started having a testimony meeting. Satan, let me tell you about this perfect man down there. I got to testify about Job, amen. I'd like God to have a testimony meeting about this church, Living Waters Tabernacle. Glory. They're a perfect church. They love the Lord. They worship God. They're under the blood of my Son. They hate evil. And they love righteousness. Well, they just do that because they're working the system. They obey, you bless them. They obey, you bless them. Take away the blessings and let's see if he'll serve you. God said, okay, I'll maintain his cause. I'll maintain his rights to be connected in heaven as perfect. Go ahead. Just don't touch his life. Go watch and see what I already know is going to happen. I already know the end of the story. You don't, fool. I rebuke you. Right? That's what he could say. He probably didn't say that, but that's what he could say. Because God's a gentleman. But you understand, he could have said that. God is so humble. And you know the story. He comes back and he said, well, he still hasn't denied you. He said, fine, then touch his health. Go ahead, touch his health. Go ahead, he's still going to praise me. And you know the story. He goes through the trial. In the trial, though, he's doubting God. He's wondering where God is. He even says that God hasn't judged the situation right. But that never changed what God said about him in heaven. Because God wasn't looking at the temporal. God was looking at the eternal. Job is perfect. He'll forever be perfect.
Amen.
Praise God. He's still perfect. He's just being tested extremely hard. But the throne in heaven, the representation, the anchor in heaven said that Job is perfect. Amen. No matter what Satan trying to accuse him. Well, look at him. He just loves you because you bless him with nice clothes and you give him nice, healthy children and all these things like that. And God knew he loves me more than that. He's got more than a superficial love. He's got a deep love that goes down past his flesh, past his mind, down into his soul. Glory! So God saw him as a perfect work. And God maintained his rights. God maintained his cause. 2 Chronicles 18, let's go there. Micaiah also has a vision of the throne in heaven. And here's where you'll see God's humility truly displayed. Brother Bram said, what makes God so great? It's because he can humble himself and make himself so little. Brother Bram said, the great man is the one who makes himself the little man. It makes you feel great. So if you're feeling real great about yourself, try to turn that around and try to make other people feel great. Because as soon as we get prideful, the Bible said then the Lord sets himself, he opposes the proud. And that means sets an army, sets array an army. As soon as we get prideful, God goes to war against us. He resists the proud. He goes to war against the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. That's what he did to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar got really prideful. What did he do? He went to war with him. And he let Nebuchadnezzar get a spirit of a beast on him. And then he sent the Medes and Persians. He went to war against prideful people. Help us to be humble. Lord Jesus, help us to be humble. 2 Chronicles 18. I'm trying to find a place to close, but I'm so enjoying this atmosphere. Pardon me. Verse 18. Now you know the story. Jehoshaphat and Ahab have this alliance together. Later, Jehoshaphat is punished for this. And he said, you love sinners too much. See, you only go so far with sinners. You only help them out so far. If they don't repent, don't go so far. He gets rebuked for joining affinity with Ahab. Yeah, you're supposed to love sinners and hate the sin, but be careful how much you love them. I can show that by scripture. The Bible said don't even have a meal with somebody who's in fornication. That means they're having sex before marriage. Don't even eat with them. Now, how many people believe that? That's what Paul said. But if we're not careful, we'll eat with fornicators, we'll eat with whoever. We need to take the word more seriously, praise the Lord. And he's leading us through that. And again, he said, therefore, hear the word, Lord Ahab. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne where Micaiah's anchor was. And all the hosts of heaven standing on his right and his left. And the Lord said, whom shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake after this manner, another spake after that manner. So get the picture. God is like this in heaven. God's on his throne. He said, now who wants to go up and deceive Ahab that will go up to Ramoth-Gilead? In other words, he's asking, who wants to fulfill my word that I sent by Elijah the prophet with thus saith the Lord? Who's going to fulfill my prophet's word? God could have been talking, Brother Dave, about any continent in the world. There's 7 continents. And God could have, in heaven, he could have had a conference about anything else. But he was focused on the place where he had a prophet with the spirit of Elijah who gave the people, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Heaven is focused on God's servants and his word and his prophecies. They must come to pass. God said, who's going to go up and deceive Ahab? And God is so humble. He lets this demon spirit walk up and say, well, how about this? I could be a spirit of lust, and I could anoint Ahab, you know, to get lustful after Jezebel and lead him out and all these things. And then another spirit of pride would come up and say, well, Lord, how about this? How about that? And God is so humble the whole time, he just stands there and let all these demons give their opinions. Interesting. And the whole time he knows what is going to happen. Church, doesn't that show God's humility? He didn't interrupt all those demons and say, shut up, shut up, shut up. He let them talk and have a council in heaven. This is why Satan still thinks he can get a leg up on God, because God is so humble. He even has discussions about how his word's going to come to pass. He lets this one say that one. Interesting thought. Interesting. Next scripture, verse 20. Can you put it up there, Brother Dustin? I like that, how it's up there. Then there came out a spirit. Finally, one comes up and said, Lord God, pardon me. I'll entice him. And the Lord said, how are you going to do it? Next scripture, 21. He said, I'll go out and I'll be a lying spirit in all the mouth of his Hebrew prophets. They were Hebrew prophets. And the Lord said, good word. You'll go. You'll be the one to fulfill this and you'll prevail. Now go ahead, go down there and anoint those guys with that false lying spirit. So see, God is maintaining Elijah's cause. Because Elijah said, thus saith the Lord, Ahab, you'll be killed, and the same place where the dogs lick Naboth's blood, your blood will be licked like right there too. God had to maintain that prophecy. He had to maintain the cause of Micaiah. Who said, if you go, if you return at all, I never saw God's throne. Amen. Amen. Glory. Yeah. And so God let his prophet, who gave thus saith the Lord and saw the throne of God, God let his prophet be tossed in the prison, chained up, and he's got to drink bread of waters and sorrows and all these things. The real man of God was tossed in prison. And he's the one that had the anchor behind the veil. Amen. Glory. Physical blessings don't really say who's in the will of God, but it's who's standing with thus saith the Lord. Amen. Outward blessings are no indicator Who's standing with Elijah's? Thus saith the Lord. So God maintains his cause. I'm going to keep my word that God sent through Elijah. And I'll use whatever means I have to. Notice, God wouldn't lead him to Ramoth-Gilead because that was not in the perfect will of God. God had to let a demon lead him there. God will not lead you outside of the word of God. But if you really want to go outside the will of God, if you really want to leave the message, if you really want to leave holiness, God will let a demon lead you out. But God will never lead you out of the word of God. He'll maintain the rights of every believer. He'll maintain the cause of every believer. But he will not lead you out of the will of God. He cannot. He cannot tempt anyone. Glory. Amen. Amen. So God lets a lying spirit tempt all these Hebrew prophets and Ahab. My anchor's in heaven. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 6. We get another picture of this heavenly throne. You know where I got this thought? I was washing dishes for my family one night. I think all my family was sick. All seven got sick over winter break except me. We got 8 people in the family. I'm the only one that didn't get sick. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I had a lot of time washing dishes and sweeping and changing diapers and doing things like that. But while I'm washing dishes one night, all these thoughts about the throne of God came flooding me. I don't have this happen too much. I had to take off my gloves and quickly type all this out about Micaiah and all the throne of God and Job and all these scriptures about the throne of God. I never preached on it. That's when you know it comes from heaven. Amen. It won't take you out of the word. It'll take you to the word. Isaiah chapter 6. And my, it's getting kind of late here. Pardon me. I don't really want to hurt. Now, you know the story. In verses 1 down to 6, I'm sorry, 1 down to 8, Isaiah was in the temple of God, and he strikes a vision, and he sees the Lord, and his train filled the temple. The train was the road that went around the king, and the kings would put banners of their victories on the back of their train. So God's train was huge. He had all kinds of victories. Amen. Victories over Satan. Victories over Cain. The Ammonites. The Canaanites. You name it. He had all these victories. And his train was so big that it filled the temple. Amen. I'm glad to be serving that king this morning. Amen. He's got a history of winning. Amen. And he's undefeated. Praise God. Amen. Even in death, he was undefeated. Because he had to, he had to die in order to defeat death. Hallelujah. Amen. Death was the only thing that would defeat death. Amen. The death of a pure, innocent soul. And Isaiah sees this and he says, I'm undone. I'm unclean. I have church members that are unclean. We're all unclean. And God shows him how cleansing comes from the altar. An angel brings a live coal burning with fire. And brings it down and sets it upon his mouth. So we get a picture of what it's like to have your, how many want your mouth clean so you can do something for the Lord? God shows him this is what's happening in heaven. God takes the fire from heaven. And the fire from the throne of God comes down that chain that you're connected to. It follows the chain, and it goes right to you, and it cleanses you. Once it cleanses you, you say, Lord, I'll go something. I'll do something. I'll speak your word. Send me. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see what it looks like to be cleansed from the throne of God. Fire comes down and burns your mouth. Now you can say, I'm no longer unclean. I'm no longer undone. Now I'm ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But don't you do it. Until that fire come down from the throne. Yeah. Zechariah chapter 3. I'm trying to close. I really am. Zechariah chapter 3. If you know the story, I preached on this one time here. God anointed Zechariah and Haggai to be two prophets during the time of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was told by King Cyrus to bring back Israel, rebuild the temple. They started establishing the temple. And then for 16 years, the government kept them from building the house of God. and they got tired on God. And all of a sudden, God raised up two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai. And here's what God tells Zechariah the prophet to tell Joshua the high priest of that day. This is not the Joshua, the book of Joshua. This is a different Joshua, much later. Verse 3. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Resist him. So now we see what happens when you're trying to do something for God. Joshua's not serving God yet, but he wants to serve God. As I'm talking about publicly as a priest. They haven't established the priesthood fully yet. He wants to serve God. How many want to serve God?
Amen.
He wants to serve God. He knows they're supposed to finish. They were sent here to finish the work, but the work's not done. And he's all discouraged, and his garments are all filthy. Because he's discouraged. He's not in the service of the Lord. And who's resisting him at the throne of God anyway? Satan. Before, Satan must have been accusing him. Well, look at Joshua, your high priest. He calls himself a high priest, Lord, and he's not even ministering. They stopped building your house. They gave up on revival. And look at his dirty garments. Yeah, they haven't sacrificed an animal here for 16 years. He thinks he's some big high priest. He's accusing day and night. Brother Dave or this sister, Sister so-and-so hasn't done nothing for the Lord for all these years. You just hang on, church. You just hang on. There's something going on at the throne of God that you probably don't realize until now. Or maybe you realize it, but you forgot it. God has a time and season for everything. There's someone there accusing you, but there's someone else as your attorney standing up for you. So which one are you going to believe? The king on the throne or the accuser of the brethren? Joshua sat there for 16 years without a real ministry. And he got to the condition where his garments were filthy. They weren't under the blood. They hadn't been constantly sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats. And the Lord said, and Satan standing right there, verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. That's where I got that. Look, Satan's talking all day and night. And he says, I rebuke you.
Amen.
Get behind me. Glory. You've been talking day and night. Shut up. Even the Lord that chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Isn't Joshua a fiery believer who's plucked out of the fire and I'm going to use him real soon? Glory. Reminds me of Isaiah. Isn't he a brand plucked out of the fire? He's got fire in his mouth. You're supposed to have fire in your mouth and your soul. Glory! Yet Joshua feels dirty before the throne of God. I haven't been doing nothing for God. We've been silent and still all these years. Almost 2 decades we've let down on God. And God still sees him as his perfect condition. Glory! God doesn't recognize that he's filthy. He's still a brand plucked out of the fire. So be encouraged. If you don't have the Holy Ghost yet and God knows you're going to get it, you already got it in God's eyes. You're already a brand plucked out of the fire of God's fiery throne and altar. Amen. Glory. Now Joshua's clothed with filthy garments because 16 years he hasn't been doing nothing for sacrificing for God. And stood before the angel. He just stands there. Is that how you stand there? Or do you try to argue with Satan? Or you try to argue with God? Well, God, no, I really don't deserve that. He just stood there and said, I'll let God do all the talking. I'll let God plead my case. I don't have the words, Brother Gareth. I don't have the words to outsmart Satan. I'll let God be my advocate, praise God. I'll let God be my attorney. I can't outwit and smart Satan. I've got to let the Holy Spirit speak it. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So God said, shut up, Satan. And he says, verse 3. Now, verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him. So look at all these angels around him. He said, take away the filthy garments from Joshua. He hasn't had blood sacrifice. Take these away. And unto him he said, behold, I've caused my iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. In other words, Joshua, even though he's lying here accusing you of all these things, you're a brand plucked out of the fire. You're an on fire, Holy Ghost filled Christian. And in my presence, and you're going to feel it too, you're going to feel that your filthy garments, you're going to feel your iniquity pass, you're going to feel forgiven. Glory. You're going to feel like somebody took off your dirty clothes and now you got brand new sunlight white clothes on. Amen. Glory. That's what was happening at the throne of God. But down on earth, they're all just discouraged. Well, I guess we'll try to be encouraged. We'll try to have church someday. It sounded all out of order. The ministry was all out of tune. So God raised up two prophets to get them back into tune. God didn't raise up, he'll raise up two for Israel, but he raised up one prophet to us to get us back in tune with the master of the symphony, the director, Jesus Christ. Glory. Verse 5. And I said, set a fair mitre on his head. That's the mitre that the high priest would wear. See, he said, in other words, Joshua, you're going to take your position on the earth. But it first has to happen in heaven. You have to first be forgiven and know you're forgiven in heaven before you can work for me. And so they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested against Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now look what he says. Now this is your responsibility. This is what I want to get you to right here. So the angel tells Joshua, if you walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Remember, and Zechariah saw this in a vision, so he went and told it to Joshua. He said, Pastor, high priest, come on here. I had a vision. God's going to take away all your sins, and you're finally going to be the high priest on this earth, and we're going to have animal sacrifices back, and we're going to set the mitre upon your head, and God's going to forgive you, and you're going to be a firebrand. You're going to be on fire for Jesus. And Joshua said, hallelujah. That's the word I've been waiting for all these 16 years. But I've waited. I didn't wait too long. It's in God's perfect time and season. Joshua, I've heard from heaven. I've heard from the throne of God. You've got to anchor there. Satan tried to accuse you, but God maintained your right to be a high priest. God maintained your cause to keep Israel under the blood and forgiven. God stood there for you, and God maintained it, and God's will come to pass in your life. Let's stand to our feet by God's grace. I better quit because I'm running out of gas here. Let's close with Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 1. How many love the Lord today? Amen. I'm trying to encourage the church that you have a representation of the throne of God. I don't care how long you've got to wait. Stay with the Word of God. God is maintaining your cause. God maintains your rights in heaven based upon His Word. If only God could give each one of us a glimpse of that. How many would like a glimpse of that in heaven? Amen. To see your actual position in heaven. If He never shows it to me in a vision, He showed it to me by the written Word. And this is one scripture, along with Hebrews 6. But Revelation 14 is another scripture that proves we have a representation in heaven. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Now this is about the 144,000, but this directly connects to the Holy Ghost-filled saints. Because how many know that Brother Branham said, the two prophets will preach to Israel the same Christ that we've received today? How many know that? It won't be a different Christ, it's the same Christ. The same message we've heard, water baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one God, there's one person. They have to receive the very same thing that Paul preached. that Brother Branham preached, that we preach. Because it's the original word. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 and 4,000, having their foreheads, I'm sorry, their father's name written in their foreheads. Who knows what that is? That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because remember Revelation chapter 7? They all got the seal of God written in their foreheads. How many remember that? That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So now Christ is standing there on Mount Zion. The Bible says he's going to stand on Mount Zion. With 144,000 sealed with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. They just got filled with the Holy Ghost, and John hears heaven, heavenly music going on in heaven, because 144,000 got sealed with the Holy Ghost. See, when something great happens for you, you like to rejoice and shout and praise God and crank up the music and glorify God. That's the same thing they do in heaven. Amen. Glory! The Bible said when one sinner repents, the angel's going to rejoicing. Say hallelujah! Brother Jesse got saved! Brother Simon got saved! Sister Beth got saved! The angels rejoice! And it's going on in heaven at the throne of God. And all you might see is Brother Mike crying or Brother Jesse crying and obeying. But while we're crying and weeping, there's rejoicing going on at the throne of God. Because now he's got an anchor. You'll no more be tossed to and fro, but you'll be anchored to Jesus Christ on his throne. And heaven breaks out the instruments and says, glory, it's time to glorify God. And the angels start praising God and harping and worshiping and exalting God for 144,000 people sealed with the coal of fire off the altar. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that happened when I got sealed with the Holy Ghost too. Praise God. Heaven rejoiced. He left all those things of the world, and now, look, he's free from all those chains, and now he's a flying eagle. He's soaring in the spiritual heavenlies upon the Word. He don't go to the bowling alley to smoke and drink and sneak cigarettes and chewing tobacco anymore. Now instead of at the Napoleon bowling alley trying to smoke and womanize girls, now he's at the church at Living Tabernacle trying to win souls to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And heaven rejoices. Say, break out the harps. Break out the songs. Hallelujah. People have been saved. Amen. The prodigals come home. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. And before the four beasts, a brand new song that's never been heard before. And the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed upon the earth. So now heaven gets a new course. There's a new release in heaven. And it's called the song of the 144,000. I imagine it might go like something like this. Can I just make up a song here? I didn't do this when I preached it at home. Can I just make up a song? I don't know if I can do it now. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a blinded people like we. We were blinded from the Messiah, because we rejected him and called him a devil. We were lost, but now we see. We were grafted in that holy root, enjoying the throne of God. But when the Messiah came, we got envious and we cut him down. For 2,000 years of church ages, we were blinded from the Lamb. But one day the Lamb came and took off our blinders. And the Bible said it was a song which no man could learn. The Gentiles can't learn this song because they weren't blinded by God. Only the 144,000 could understand this song because Gentiles were not blinded. They already were blind. But God purposely blinded the branch and then he grafts them back in. Praise God. We're grafted in. Praise God. Praise God. Our blindfold is gone. Praise God. Praise God. We're not blind. Praise God. We're not blind. Praise God. Praise God with our new song. Yes. Angels can't sing it. Abraham can't sing it. Paul can't sing it. But the 144,000, they can sing the new song. Amen. Verse 4. These were they which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile. Here's what I want to close with this. Musicians, you can come. For they are without fault before the throne of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in the life of one of the members of the 144,000 makes them have no fault before the throne of God. That's the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that the Gentiles can receive right now. Can we just thank the Lord for that? Praise God. No fault before the throne of God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's all sing it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. 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 Through many dangers, let's sing that by God's grace. Oh, through many. God, just keep playing that by God's grace. If anyone desires prayer today, you're more than welcome to come. We'll look and pray to the throne of God in heaven because we know that there's an anchor there for our souls. We know that there's representation. We know the angel of the Lord. We know the Lord himself stands there to maintain our rights on earth and our cause on earth. If he stood with Job, he'll stand with you. If he stood with Micaiah, if he stood with Elijah, he'll stand with you. If he stood with Joshua, the high priest, he'll stand with you. And if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I encourage you, press in so you'll be without fault before the throne of God. And you can ask anything in your heart, believing, and you shall receive. Whether you have to wait 5 years, 5 minutes, instantly receive it, you'll be there as a faithful soldier. Believing God's word. Let's sing praise God. Praise God. Brother Cam. Thank you, sir. Praise God.
those things, brother, sister. Did you catch it? This just over and over again is that when you see God, Satan has to go to God to still ask for a right to come after you. Amen. Amen. You see, don't you see it, brother, sister? God is so in control. I love how the brother said it. God is so humble. But do you realize that when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he still has to go back to try to get you? Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? You might be in Satan's Eden, brother, sister, but what, Satan still has to go to the throne to get to you. Amen. Amen. You've got a seed, brother, sister, that's larger than life. Amen. Why is that? Because it's literally the life of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Your seed remaineth. Hallelujah. No matter what Satan tries to do, come trial, tribulation, you have an anchor in the Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, brother, sister, I feel encouraged in the Word of God. Amen. You feel encouraged in the Word of God. Very reason to be glum. Amen. If you need the Holy Ghost, and that's why you're glum, today is the day. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need healing, today's the day, amen. Right? We're going to fight, brother, sister. We're going to keep on working. We're going to keep eating this book until the Word lives, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where would you be, brother, sister, if Jesus Christ hadn't come after you, amen? How fortunate, how blessed the people you are. Hallelujah. God's grace, brother, sister. I know time's more spent, but you know how much time we give everything else. Just a few minutes in the house of God. You say 2 hours, a 2.5 hour service. Brother, sister, I'm looking to be transformed into a 24-hour worship. Amen. You know our flesh don't like it. But if you've got representation over there, amen, then you are built for it. Amen. You are made for it. Just give God what we can right now, brother, sister. But by the grace of God, if there's a real pull of God in your life, you can say, all I want to do is love Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, so great a salvation. Amen. Oh, so great a love of God. Amen. To come and draw a sinner like me. To come and bring a revelation of grace, mercy, and love. Hallelujah. God allows us to be. Look at how God keeps us when all these storms and everything else comes and happens, and then you find right in the midst of all these troubles of life, all these things that happen in this world, God has got his little Abraham hidden away in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Amen. It goes to that thought. Remember, there was Pharaoh. He was growing in all the evil and wickedness that he could possibly be. But there Moses was right on the backside of the desert. He was growing. Amen. You're that little bride that's back in that wilderness just growing for one final showdown. Then God will have the last word. Amen. He'll have it in his bride. He'll have it in his church. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a revival of God's Spirit that's coming to your life. Amen. Amen. But all that we can do is say what? Lord, be it unto me, God. Give me that type of a move. I just want to be possessed by your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Amen. Closer to you and further away from me. Amen. If no one has need of prayer, we're just going to sing a song. I appreciate your desire to stay in the house of God. And I know the kids start getting kicked in. And you know what? They do their best and by the grace of God. But yet, when you sit in the presence of that word, brother, sister, everything's working. Because I feel like we're walking out of here with a greater
revelation that when God allowed that devil to go out, he knew that you'd be able to look at him and say, I am not alone. He said he'd never leave nor forsake me. Amen. Remember, brother, sister, we heard a rendition of the 144,000 today. Remember, redeemed, have a song, please. You are that redeemed, aren't you? Amen. Let's sing it.
Redeemed, oh, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
our song, and we'll allow you to go your way. And those who want to pray and do whatever, that's fine. As you feel led of the Holy Spirit, are you glad that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty? Amen. If you want to get excited.